temple that every monotheistic religion has a hold on. From Christians to Jews to Muslims, they have their hold on this thing. And the big bright light in the sky comes down from these red lights that were in the heavens, comes right down, hovers above the dome, and then shoots up after a big flash of blinding light. That was an amazing video to see. And there were at least three videos that were presented on YouTube that looked remarkably real.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
One of them, of course, looked phony. And what had happened, and what I found very suspicious, was that the videos in Israel were jumped upon by would-be, what I call, neo-skeptics. And what neo-skeptics are, in my opinion, are professional skeptics. They're paid to be your critical parent and your thought police. And one of the things that they did is they were so quick in jumping on the idea that these UFOs were fake, they didn't take the time to discuss the motive behind the hoax. They didn't take time to say, hey, well, what about these guys that videotaped it? And they came up with these ideas that why haven't these guys sold this to MSNBC or CNN? Well, the same questions could go for the Utah video. Why is it there were the same amount of witnesses, the same amount of people presenting UFO footage, and nobody said anything to them. Nobody said it was a hoax. Nobody tried to point out the flaws in the video. They jumped on the Israeli video. Why? Because I believe it was a distraction. I believe that even if it is a hoax or whatever, what it has done is raise the consciousness level of everyone who has seen this, and they're interpreting it in different ways. They're seeing it as either a hoax, or they're seeing it as some sort of divine intervention because, of course, the Muslims were all fighting in Egypt when it happened, and they're all waiting. I mean, the Iranian president, Ahmadinejad, he says that he thinks the Mahdi's coming, the 12th Imam is coming, and that it'll show up somewhere near the Dome of the Rock. And what's really bizarre, and what you don't know is that after the UFO commotion over Israel, after the UFO commotion over the Dome of the Rock, a baby was found there, abandoned, 2 weeks old, hidden in the area there near the Holy of Holies. Somebody left a baby there. Reminds me of a Chuck Jones cartoon I saw once with his baby who was meant to be born on Mars, was born here on Earth. And it's just an interesting, if you ever see it, it's called Rocket by Baby. It's old as it can be. I mean, I'm showing my age here, but yeah, it's exactly what it is. But see, there were so many things that we could have discussed about this, but no, it was completely shut down by these unbelievable neo-skeptics that just love to attack things and say, well, if I can fake it, then it must be fake. If I can make it up, it must be made up. Well, hell, anybody can make up anything. Anyone can fake anything, and it ruins the whole idea of investigating UFOs. It makes it harder for the UFO investigator to even find something legitimate because someone always can duplicate it. And even though no one's come forward to say that this Israeli UFO is a hoax, people all around think it's a hoax because of all the circumstantial evidence that says, yeah, it was. And I was reading this article. It was so hilarious. They were saying things like, well, it was 15 feet long, and I don't think aliens could fit in something 15 feet long coming from interstellar space. I'm thinking, well, you could pack a limo with 15 hot girls and a rock star. You know, it doesn't matter if it's hovering above the Dome of the Rock. And the other thing they're saying is, well, you think it's in a tourist attraction so big that somebody would have had to have shot it other than those people because, hey, people are there all the time. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. It's 1 a.m., and I went to the Dome of the Rock website, and it says the worst times to go to the Dome of the Rock are Fridays, after 3 p.m., and during Shabbat. Well, guess what, friends? The UFO, allegedly, this alleged UFO, was shot over the Dome of the Rock at 1 a.m. on Friday night, which is the Shabbat. And I don't think too many people who want to celebrate the Sabbath in Israel really care all that much about looking in the sky. And a couple of people did. I don't know if it's real or not. I don't know. But let me tell you this much. Whenever a light in the sky appears anywhere, it's always an excuse to start a new enlightened movement. It's always an excuse to create a new religion. I mean, heck, take a look at Ezekiel's wheel. What? When Ezekiel saw the wheel and he talked about it, What did he want to do? He wanted to use it as leverage against idol worshippers. He said, hey, I saw the light. Stop worshipping idols. Saul of Tarsus. He turned into Paul, the guy who came up with the idea. All of Christianity today is based on what Paul told us, because Paul was a Roman, saw the light in the sky, this big UFO, and said, hey, I know how Jesus is supposed to be. I'll tell you all about it, right? Joseph Smith, Mormon prophet, 14 years old, New York, saw two lights come down from the sky. Jesus and God told him, hey, start a church. And then another guy came down, gave him a golden plate Bible to write. He did it. And now we've got all these Mormons everywhere. And what's really interesting is that we have two major religious centers, one in Israel, the Jews, and one in Utah, the Mormons, and they have the same UFO happen in their area. And here's another creepy thing for you, too. Utah, if you take a look at it, it's like Israel in a way. Why? Because they have this huge salt lake, like the Dead Sea, and they have this little freshwater lake. It's called Utah Lake in the Sea of Galilee. They have a little river that runs between it called the Jordan River. Isn't that kind of bizarre? What were they trying to do? I think, and I sniff, and I wonder if this is all about some sort of a blue beam thing. Oh, you don't know what Project Blue Beam is? Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to have to tell you what Project Blue Beam is. And I'll tell you what, I can't do it alone, okay? I can't do it alone, and so that is why tonight I have brought on the program the big gun. Yeah. Probably the coolest member of the UFO Hunters, if not the coolest member, Bill Burns, on the program tonight. Really excited to have him on. In fact, Bill Burns co-authored The Day After Roswell with Philip J. Corso. Burns has also co-authored two books with George Norrie of Coast to Coast AM. And, like I said, one of the coolest ufologists on the UFO Hunters on the History Channel. Bill Burns, welcome to Ground Zero. How you doing?
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
I am glad to have you on this program, because who else do you go to but you go to an expert that's always swimming in the UFO stuff. And so what can you tell me, Bill, about this whole situation in Israel?
Well, first of all, obviously there are a lot of different opinions about whether it's real, whether it's a hoax. I mean, I've got two approaches to this thing. I mean, on the one hand, you look at the videos, and there are, what are they, four videos. You
yeah.
look at these videos intrinsically and extrinsically, okay? By that I mean what's inside the videos that tells you where you're dealing with something true, something false, anomalous, or what. And then you look at what's outside the videos, supporting evidence.
Right.
And I'll tell you what I did was I went to the extrinsic side first.
Okay. Like a true skeptic should, right?
Okay, and I looked at, you know, on the one hand, where is this all supposedly taking place? At the most important site for the world's three great religions.
Yes, right. Yes.
Islam, Christianity, Judaism. And you've got you've got these two sites literally in the exact same spot. There is the Temple Mount.
Mm-hmm.
The Temple Mount is the wall of the old temple, the second temple in Jerusalem, revered by, go into the long history of this thing, but I mean it's pretty obvious. This is the place where people came to worship in ancient Israel when it was destroyed by the Romans.
Right.
Well, very sacred site and very revered site, a heavily guarded site. Today, it's very heavily guarded. It's in Jerusalem, which is really like a tinder spot. Sitting atop that is the Dome of the Rock, a site so important that wars have been fought over this thing.
Right.
Now, consider this. A beam of light falling from the sky, rising up again, this huge flash at this site. And all you have are four videos. No other reporting. No, nothing from the police. Nothing from the thousands of people that congregate at the Temple Mount.
But do
all
they,
of whom have cell phones.
But Bill, do they congregate at the Temple Mount on Shabbat, which it was Shabbat, at three, mm-hmm. at one in the morning? And that's another thing, too. The Utah case, which has been totally ignored, and this is why I'm thinking that this situation in Jerusalem was the red herring.
Mm-hmm.
That the Utah situation is far more intriguing because it happened over a military base.
Mm-hmm.
It was done. There were several videos. No police investigated it. The videos that came forward, there were only two people that went on the news to talk about how they witnessed it. But the people who brought forth the videos, no one knows who they were. They were taken to a shopping center in American Fork, the area there, Utah County. And that's the thing, is that there's something happening, Bill, where it seems that, hoax or no, we have this distraction that has been, that was latched onto by all of these skeptics and debunked. And rightfully so, if the thing is hoax, it should be debunked.
Right.
But no one has touched the Utah footage, and it is exactly, the Utah situation is almost a doppelganger to what has happened in Israel.
Well, the thing about the Utah footage, which is interesting, is, first of all, a major difference. Utah is the home of, I mean, if there is another base other than the Area 51, and I'm calling it Area 51 complex, because when you talk to military people, there's no such thing as Area 51. There's Nellis, there's Groom Lake, there's Papoose Lake, there's S4. I mean, Area 51 is really a name that we gave it. Okay,
sure.
It's not really a name. And but the other site that is so important to military research is Dugway, the
right.
Dugway Proving Grounds in Utah, and that is a place where that whole area is a place where there are phenomenally weird things going on.
Oh yeah.
It was what most people don't know is that in World War II, it was a testing ground for biological weapons and weapons of mass destruction, poison gas,
mm-hmm.
right in the Dugway area. And I mean, we were there, and UFO hunters. And they are playing with things like cloaking devices, literally invisible planes and things like that. There are a whole set of anomalous lights in the sky. They were testing, I know it's called Blue Beam, which is kind of NASA as the Antichrist. But I have to tell you that they were testing this strange beam,
mm-hmm.
and it was blue.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were testing it, we saw the video of this. It was incredible. Strange lights in the sky, call them UFOs, call them orbs, were hovering around this beam as if it was drawing these things in. So, and Utah is also the place of the Skinwalker Ranch.
Yes, been to that place too. Yes.
Which is literally, it is probably the Bradshaw Ranch in Arizona in Sedona is a kind of a similar site. It is the closest thing I can think of that is a real portal. A portal to where I can't tell you whether it's a Stargate, whether it's something. It's kind
right.
of a portal.
Right.
Where these strange creatures come out of it. So I would say that the Utah video makes far more sense to me
right.
as real than the Jerusalem video.
So then we could probably determine, you know, that the impact of what happened with Jerusalem, the latching on of the skeptics to that one video, drawing the attention away, could very well have been a red herring to get people's attention off the Utah footage, right?
It could be. My only reaction to that is that it's attenuated. I mean, you have to expect, or you'd have to presuppose that that's what would happen when you saw the Jerusalem footage. I mean, the Jerusalem footage is because it's Jerusalem, it has a far greater weight
mm-hmm.
than a video from some other spot. So, as I said, the extrinsic issues to the Jerusalem footage, that's where I went first. And I'm sure you've read the same things that I have,
right.
that the intrinsic things, like Jerusalem being a plate shot is, it's like a green screen. You take a background shot And on that background is where you impose digital imagery. And so a lot of the people like Bruce McAbee, who is the U.S. Navy photo expert, pointed out that it seems as though that the camera, that the background doesn't do anything while this light is playing back and forth in the Jerusalem footage. And he saw basically tiling in the footage. He saw a whole bunch of things that are wrong with the footage for it to be real. So I get it. If that's a red herring, then, you know, I could agree with that. I'd need more proof, but basically that would make sense.
Well, all I know is that out of all the things that I've talked about on Ground Zero, and I've been doing this for 16 years, the only thing that the thing that's gotten the most attention is and the most impact has been this UFO over the Dome of the Rock. And I believe in many reasons, and it's because we cover the gambit here on Ground Zero, not just UFOs, but the truth is, when you're looking at a very volatile area, when you're dealing with Egypt being the way it was, I mean, people were saying they were seeing the Mahdi or the Pale Horseman riding through the streets of Egypt on a report on MSNBC, for crying out loud. It was a simulacrum that they saw. But then you see this light over the Temple Mount, and you see this thing come down, and people are just screaming Mahdi. They're screaming 12th Imam. They're saying maybe it's the return of Jesus or something, and then a baby shows up at the Dome of the Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are saying, whoa, that just takes another story. But see, people on my site just said, well, while we enjoy the speculation you've given us, Clyde, it's almost certainly a hoax, and here are all these links to say it is. I have never seen so many links on one UFO case than on that case. And I'm sitting there going, okay, now wait a minute. So the Utah footage, and I hate to just really, really gear into this, because I'm from Utah, and I know exactly what goes on at Dugway, and I know that The Stand, when it was written by Stephen King, was based on an accident at Dugway. I know The Species and Rage and all these science fiction shows all start at Dugway. The zombie apocalypse starts at Dugway. I mean, to say that the most controversial, as you say, the most controversial and the most security to this country is there at Dugway, adjacent to Area 51 or S4 or wherever, Nellis. And no one pays attention to that, but they all want to try and look at this one. And maybe it was easy pickings, maybe it was something, but I still want answers for the Utah footage, because either that or it was just some conspiracy that took two continents within 7 hours of each other to perform. And that's what I want to know.
As I said, I think it's very attenuated to say that it was a red herring, but I really can't dismiss it. I just know that in addition to Dugway being way out where it is,
right.
I mean, it's desolate. In addition to that, it's like the night has 1,000 eyes.
Yes.
I mean, when you look at all the politics around Dugway, the fact that the Dugway base tried to expand, and you had these people that were running for Congress opposing it, you had all these claims, all these people got sick around Dugway because of the poison gas. I mean, as you drive there, you see the gas sensors.
Yeah.
This is on it's not on military land, it's on public land, these gas sensors.
Mm-hmm.
We pulled up to Bureau of Management land, BLM land, and literally before we even unlimbered the cameras, military police officers, private police officers from the base challenged us. They literally, without search warrants, without a probable cause, without anything,
right,
they wanted our cameras. And if you remember the episode, we really had to, I really did the argument and said, look, you know, show me a warrant. Here are our shooting permits. We're here legally.
Right.
You know, where's your captain? Where's your superior officer? Have him come. We finally got the base PIO who had just come off, I think she was bivouacking with a group of press people.
Right.
And she actually blurted out the fact of all the private contractors who are at Dugway renting space at Dugway to test weapons.
Yep.
And when we saw some of those videos, and we saw, because we were all around the perimeter of the base, and I have to tell you, the thought of invisible F-16s and these dust clouds not from dirt devils, but from vehicles, because they're going in a straight, intelligently guided,
right,
cloaked, completely invisible.
It's some amazing stuff, and I have to say that when I saw that episode, I really felt for you, Bill, because I was there too, and they did the same thing. It wasn't the military that was as angry with this. It was actually Wackenhut, EG&G. The guy pulled a gun on me, actually, and said, "We're going to escort you out of Tooele County." I was frightened, but we got out of it okay. Bill Burns is my guest tonight here on Ground Zero. He, like I say, the coolest guy that I thought on UFO Hunters and the History Channel. Also, a well-known author, worked with Philip J. Corso on The Day After Roswell, and, of course, the well-known George Norrie. For those of you that know George, Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back with more. 1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. Tonight, Ground Zero, exploring the past week, the UFO flaps, Israel, the Temple Mount, Dugway, and some very special information from Bill about what's going on out there, and we'll be announcing that in the next hour. So keep it here on Ground Zero.
You can make this Valentine's Day one that you'll both never forget with this amazing offer from AdamandEve.com. Through Valentine's Day, you'll receive 50% off just about any item. Just go to AdamandEve.com and you'll find over 18,000 adult entertainment products, including toys, lingerie, and a seemingly endless selection of adult DVDs. And there's more. With every order, you'll receive our romance kit free. Our romance kit includes a toy for him, a special massager for her, and a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, a free adult DVD to put you in the mood. And that's not all. Oh, no. We'll also throw in free shipping on your entire order. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special Valentine's offer. Get 50% off one item, a free romance kit, and free shipping when you enter offer code SAVE20, SAVE20. That's SAVE20 at AdamandEve.com.
Your glasses and contacts today with laser vision correction from Will Vision and Laser Centers. Imagine all the things you'd enjoy more if you weren't always looking for your glasses or losing a contact at that crucial moment. Experience what laser vision correction can do for you by scheduling a free screening at their offices in Vancouver or Salem. Call Will Vision and Laser Centers today.
Right now, every time you buy something, anything with Discover, you automatically have a chance to win up to $1 million.
So if I buy these jeans, I could win $1 million?
Yep.
This stainless steel dishwasher?
Uh-huh.
This chocolate bar?
You bet.
This chocolate bar?
Didn't you just buy that?
It's my emergency chocolate.
Oh, gotcha. So remember, the next time you buy something, use Discover, because it could make you a millionaire. Limitations apply. No purchase or card application necessary. Visit discovergiveaway.com for official rules.
Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. Jack knocked over a candlestick onto the shag carpeting, and his pants ignited into flames, causing him to stop, drop, and roll. Luckily, Jack recently had Geico help him with renter's insurance, because all his belongings went up in flames. Jack got full replacement and now has new pants he ordered from Banana Republic. Visit Geico.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Today, we're going to talk about your future and what's possible. Are you thinking about going to college or getting more training for that better job? It's possible now, and we're here to help. With just one phone call, you can get information on all the college options available in Oregon. Find out how to get started and how to make sense of financial aid programs that will make college affordable. State of Oregon counselors are here to help you navigate the process and make your college dreams possible now. Improve your chances of getting that better job or get the necessary job skills for a new career, regardless of your age or income. All those things you thought were impossible are now more possible than ever. Take the first step in changing your future. Call or
Morgan's toll-free Adult Learner College Line at 877-848-4669. That's 877-848-4669. Or visit our website at OregonOpportunities.gov and make all those dreams you thought were impossible, possible. Sponsored by the State of Oregon and aired by the Oregon Association of Broadcasters and this station.
KUFO.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Jacques Vallée wrote a book called Messengers of Deception, where he revealed that groups like Heaven's Gate, if you remember them, the cult that committed suicide, Raelians, guys who produce movies like Alien Autopsy, they're linked to military intelligence. And there's a lot of things about military intelligence that the military are engaging in psychological warfare involving false flag exercises, and they include simulated extraterrestrial attacks. And the frightening part is that the military psyops groups are conducting these alien-based psychological experiments to test the collective acceptance of real alien landings. And they're allegedly faking occasional UFO reports. And YouTube, of course, is a great place to gauge public reaction. And they're also taking these real events shown on YouTube and creating a sense of confusion by creating very sophisticated fakes that appear to be eyewitness documentation. And that is why tonight we are doing this show. And it's because I have really been contemplating what had happened over the past week or two regarding the UFO over Israel, the UFO seen over Utah, Dugway Proving Grounds, which, of course, was on lockdown when this UFO was sighted. Tonight on my show is Chief UFO Hunter Bill Burns, of course, from the television show UFO Hunters, who's on the History Channel, and also co-writer of several great books you may have heard of, Day After Roswell, Philip Corso, and, of course, a couple books with talk show host George Norrie. Bill, welcome back to Ground Zero.
Thank you.
You've been investigating this stuff for some time, and you've written books on the subject matter. I mean, working with Philip Corso and knowing about Roswell and all this other stuff. These bases are somewhat, there are things that go on to these bases, and if people only knew what's going, we're probably like, I heard the rumor when I lived in Utah that we are like 300 years ahead of schedule with a lot of our equipment. Is that too much to say, or are we about there?
I think 300 years might be a little much, but we are really far ahead. So far that we have programs that, things that I've heard about both in rumor and both from people who say they've been there, okay,
mm-hmm.
that are so spooky. I mean, I'm sitting, for example, talk about Dugway, right, and, mm-hmm. and this cloaking device. I'm sitting with one individual with ties to one of the agencies, and a friend of his who financed a company that was developing something for the military, and it was a cloaking device. So I basically, you know, in kind of a jerky way, said, oh, yeah, you know, the British have that cloaking device. You know, so what? You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, very Star Trekian, right, like the Romulans or something.
Right.
And this guy said, no, you don't get it. I mean, it's a cloaking device. It's not just a bunch of TV cameras brought, you know, I mean, my thought of a cloaking device is you've got, let's say, a tank, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on the side of the tank away from you, just sort of a series of cameras, obviously very sophisticated cameras, not what you could get at Radio Shack, but sophisticated cameras. On the other side is, and this thing can reverse. So the cameras are interspersed with the screen, are almost like monitors. And so literally what the camera is doing is it's taking video of what's behind the tank, let's say sand or a forest, and broadcasting it on the side people are seeing. So if you're looking at the tank, what you then see is some kind of a wavy thing of the background behind it. And I've seen videos of, let's just say, soldiers in the forest, in the brush. And what you see is not the soldier, but you see somehow the background, what's behind the soldier, mm-hmm. kind of very wavy, as if looking through a very thin cloud.
Uh-huh.
And this is at the naval base at Vieques in Puerto Rico.
Now, Bill, I want to tell you something, and this is just something to back up what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Olaf Phillips, correct?
I sure do.
Okay. Olaf will confirm this story.
Mm-hmm.
In 1995, 1996, I was working with a guy who works at this radio station and gave me the opportunity to do the show again. I've been doing this show for about 15, 16 years. And back then, we offered $10 million for proof of a UFO. It was a publicity stunt that we did. We bought an insurance policy, and we said, if anybody can prove the existence of UFOs, bring it here, and we'll look at it.
Okay.
Well, no one, of course, brought a full-on UFO on a flatbed truck for us to investigate. But some guy brought us a picture that he took in the west deserts of Utah near Dugway.
Mm-hmm.
And what was in the brush looked to me like an alien gray. It had big eyes, it had a huge bald head, and it was stooping there in the sagebrush. What had happened is I put it on my website. This is back when the Internet was fairly new, fairly young. And we were putting stuff on the Internet, say, take a look at this. And, of course, Art Bell was on during the time. And of course, I was on before Art Bell at KCNR.
Mm-hmm.
And we were working, you know, kind of together. I would open for Art's show, and we would put him on the Internet. We were the first station to put on the Internet. What had happened is this guy showed up with this picture, and I put it up on my website, and there were a group of people that didn't like what I put up on the website because they were saying it was something that I wasn't supposed to see or that guy wasn't supposed to see. It turned out the prospector that was taking the picture actually took a picture of a soldier wearing the very cloaking device you're talking about, and they were going to use it as camo in the second Gulf War. This is right when we were ending the other Gulf War. They talked about another Gulf War, and that what we had was not an alien, but a soldier, and that's why I got in trouble. In fact, it was such a bad thing that my car was bombed because they wanted me to keep quiet about it.
It's unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are, and you wonder, oh, who are the people who are doing this work for? Are they really official intelligence agents?
Right.
My thought is no, and I'll tell you why. One of the people that I encountered along the way, and we've since become friends, was somebody who identified himself as an operative for one of the agencies.
Right.
And he said, look, I mean, he was trying to explain to me. He had read the Corso book, and he basically wanted to talk to me about it. You know, was Corso lying? Was it true? What are your real thoughts? You know, I know it's a book. I know you're not going to basically turn your back on your own book, but really, you know, this is who I am. This is what I do, and I'm really curious.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, look, I'm more than willing to share certain kinds of information with you. You know, nothing of great national import, but stuff that's really curious that you should know more about how this stuff operates. And, you know, at the end of it, we talked about his doing a book when he feels it's safe enough to do it.
Right.
But one of the things that he said was that what most people don't know is that, and it's why certain crimes are solved so easily, I mean, international crimes, terrorism crimes, why they're solved so easily is that from the time the agency first began in 1947, or not the CIA, but the whole idea of the National Security Act in 1947,
right.
From that period forward, which is why presidents got very nervous about it, once the National Security Act was passed in 1947, it's almost as if, well, it's not almost as if, it's exactly what happened. We created a fourth branch of government, and I know this is a long way to get to this point, but we created a fourth branch of government, which is extra-constitutional, okay? There's no intelligence agency in the Constitution. It's not one of the three branches of government. It's an extra branch of government.
Right.
That exists, even though the president sits on the National Security Council, it exists almost above the president. In other words, there are things, I mean, Mike Schrat said there are 17 degrees of top secret above the presidency. I don't know if it's actually 17, but I know that there are degrees beyond what the president can be told.
Oh, you can believe that and bank on it, and you know that because you have people like Zbigniew Brzezinski, and you've had people like Henry Kissinger, and you have Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, and these guys have been around a long time, pulling the strings from the Chilean coups to 9/11 to several other groups that are there to oversee these operations, which are psyops and in some cases false flag attacks.
Well, in this particular instance, for example, George H.W. Bush was briefing President-elect Jimmy Carter in 1976,
mm-hmm.
late 76. And so Jimmy Carter asked George H.W. Bush to tell him, because he'd had a UFO sighting when he was governor of Georgia,
exactly.
to tell him what the CIA knew about UFOs. And George Bush, who was then director of Central Intelligence, said to Jimmy Carter, "You have no need to know." And that's an example of kind of like things beyond what a president is allowed to know. In some cases, it's for plausible deniability, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if the president doesn't know, the president can't be culpable. Things happen beyond the president. On the other hand, it is that there is an infrastructure in place above the president in the chain of national security that really it's the old secret government book that Stephen Wise wrote something like 25, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's an infrastructure that basically operates on its own. And one of the things that Phil Corso told me, I mean, whether you believe his story of reverse engineering or not, this is irrelevant to that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Corso told me is that when a bunch of lawyers get in the room for different sides, right?
Right.
Let's say they're discussing an insurance settlement or, you know, medical malpractice, something like the divorce cases.
Mm-hmm.
The lawyers have worked together in some cases for years, right? It's not like some hot young lawyer comes in and says, I'm gonna rip your guts out. These are lawyers that have really worked in the same court, same jurisdiction for years.
Yeah.
They'll get into a room. Yes, they're adversarial, but they also know that they're going to trade favors back and forth, okay?
Of course.
So, look, if you give me a break on calendaring this particular case, I'll give you this kind of a break. Yes, I'll go to my client and get my client to settle on this, but we've got this other case we're adversarial. And so that's what they do. The point is that they're going to trade favors. There's a favor bank.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of, let's say, the world's intelligence agencies. We're talking about the real sophisticated ones. This is the Soviets, the British, us. In some cases, they're going to operate against one another. Like, for example, what this one person told me is that our real enemies in the world is the French intelligence service. They have operated against us.
COINTELPRO, for the longest time, has been from the French.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, they really have been operating against us in so many different ways. With that 17 November counter-terrorist group in Greece,
mm-hmm.
there was a French intelligence agent that was actually helping to run that group. So, but there were also, of course, I said, between the Soviets and the Americans, neither side wanted a nuclear war. I mean, that's really the issue.
Right.
Like, you want to keep the planet from being destroyed. So, yes, they were good communists. Yes, we're patriots. Yes, yes, yes. All that's true. But in reality, they're operating from the same basis of self-interest, which is we can keep the game going and we don't get into a nuclear war. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, so that's on the one hand. So they're operating in some cases counter to their own governments because they know that if left to their elected officials or left to the party apparatus that's come through, they would make stupid mistakes during their terms in office. And those stupid mistakes could wind the world up in a real big problem.
Well, have you ever heard the old term that nothing is a coincidental, in fact, it's permitted? That a lot of the things that we see with governments and wars and riots such as Egypt and UFO sightings and all these things are planned. And they're planned to gauge a reaction from the people. And they know that they can approximate a future if they just do some tinkering with the collective unconscious of a country.
And well, sure. I mean, exactly what goes on at Instance is you know how certain large populations are going to react.
Sure.
And you can do small things and in some cases larger things that will get people to sway the way you want them. So, but the point that Corso is making is that intelligence agencies operate independently, and from 1947 on in this country, one of the first things that our intelligence agencies did was to penetrate inside American businesses and societies, just very deep penetration. In other words, you set up listening posts within these organizations. And so this one person that I met said, look, you have no idea of two things. One, the extent of technology that we have. I mean, just literally, there are things that we can do in terms of surveillance that would blow your mind. Think, for example, in the White House, they have sensors that literally see through walls.
Yep.
It's not just having snipers on the roof of the White House. We understand that. Somebody's running across the lawn screaming, God told me to kill the president. It's, you know, like you want to shoot this guy.
Right.
But it is the ability to see through walls, to track certain people, and it's frightening. When at Area 51, S4, the snipers there are ex-Delta Force. Yes, it's private security, it's Whack and Hunt and a few other organizations, but the core group is Delta Force. Probably the most elite, best-trained, most brutal force we have.
And the question I have is all the protection and security and the heavy guns and the heavy artillery to protect what, to look into what, and to be honest, I mean, you know, you are leading this in a direction that gives me the chills, because people think they have it all figured out. I always see this, and it irritates me, because, you know, people like you and I've done it, we've gotten into the belly of the beast, we've seen how it operates. I mean, we're on the periphery, okay? We're not totally inside. We're on the periphery. We've experienced the guns in our faces. We've experienced the go away, we don't want you to be seen around here. And we're always wondering, what is going on? And heck, tall tales do grow. We do hear about alien type of aircraft. We've heard of the back engineering and in Corso's book, the book that you co-wrote, Day After Roswell. We're going to talk more about this coming up with my guest, Bill Burns, tonight on Ground Zero. Any questions for Bill, you can call us at 1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. Bill Burns tonight of UFO Hunters on the History Channel. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
Make this Valentine's Day one that you'll both never forget with this amazing offer from AdamandEve.com. Through Valentine's Day, you'll receive 50% off just about any item. Just go to AdamandEve.com and you'll find over 18,000 adult entertainment products, including toys, lingerie, and a seemingly endless selection of adult DVDs. And there's more. With every order, you'll receive our romance kit free. Our romance kit includes a toy for him, a special massager for her, and a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, a free adult DVD to put you in the mood. And that's not all. Oh, no. We'll also throw in free shipping on your entire order. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special Valentine's offer. Get 50% off one item, a free romance kit, and free shipping when you enter offer code SAVE20, SAVE20. That's SAVE20 at AdamandEve.com.
Let me ask you a personal question. Has your relationship with your iPod come between you and your car audio system?
During Car Toys Valentine's Day sale, we can create perfect harmony between you, your iPod, and your car audio system.
That's Car Toys expert Marcus, a.k.a. Doctor of Car Audio Love.
Save on everything from simple iPod hookups to in-dash multimedia decks with full iPod control. Hey, we unite hundreds of iPods to car stereos every day.
I'm feeling the love already.
The best brands are on sale. Kenwood, Pioneer, JL Audio. Pick up a Pioneer CD receiver with iPod and iPhone control for only $99.
Install.
Whoa. Upgrade to a new set of Pioneer 6.5-inch two-way speakers for just $49. And save $50 on a 300-watt boxless Fosgate amp. Only $149.
Man, those are sweet prices.
Nobody beats a Car Toys price.
Guarantee you and your car audio together again.
Oh, yeah. But hurry. Sale ends Valentine's Day.
Wanna play? Get your toys.
Car Toys. A better way to go.
Now hand off to Matthews for a near side three. It's in! And Wesley with the goggles to the crowd saying, yes, that's how I roll!
Hey, Portland, are you seeing Three yet? Be part of the craze sweeping Rip City with a Three Goggles ticket pack. Get two tickets to three great games, your very own Three Goggles, and your choice of either a Rudy Fernandez or Patty Mills replica jersey. This $170 value is yours starting as low as $99. So call 503-797-9600 or visit trailblazers.com.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard, in cooperation with the Oregon Broadcasters Association and this station.
KUFO.
Does believing you are the last sane person on planet Earth make you crazy?
This is not a test. This is an emergency broadcast.
We're going to stay on the air for as long as possible.
On Temple Mount. Our sources confirm a two-week-old baby was found there. It is now in good health and has been turned over.
What's the plan? The sky is the limit. And why did it stop over one of the most treasured sites in Christianity?
So they say this is either incredible video or some very well orchestrated hoax.
Saw lights, but those lights were not from an airplane or a helicopter, and these lights dropped something. As
a small cluster of meteors is predicted to enter our atmosphere.
Scientists are scrambling to try and understand.
Evacuations are now underway.
Two or three meteors just impacted. Oh my God!
It appears that there's something like shadowy figures.
I'm gonna head back now.
I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero. Tonight on my show, it's Bill Burns from the UFO Hunters show on the History Channel, and also it's co-written books with several well-known names, Philip Corso, The Day After Roswell, and, of course, George Norrie. Now, we've been talking about some exotic weaponry that can be seen, or at least is well-known. Back engineering, of course, talked about in the book The Day After Roswell, and also at other places. One of the things that's interesting is that we don't need CGI anymore, anything else, to kind of fake or at least create the idea of some sort of a strange UFO appearance, anomalous appearance, or even an appearance of a god or some sort of angel in the sky. I was reading over some information. According to the Defense Technical Information Center, the United States military has a patent numbered ADA-33849. It's listed as a 3D holographic display that is used with strontium barium niobate. It's a compound that is aerosolized. It's created by Army Research Laboratories as a new and innovative technique for generating a three-dimensional holographic display that can be viewed in real time over a wide perspective or field of view. The image is free from any system-induced aberrations, has uniform high quality over the entire field of view. The image is sent through either a red or blue beam generated from a photorefractive crystal. Just a lot of interesting things I'm reading here. So, like I said, you don't really need CGI to fake this stuff. We've known about it since 1947. Am I right, Bill?
Indeed, we have. And that would explain so many UFO sightings. And people say, oh, well, the craft that we saw. I mean, take a look at the Phoenix Lights. You've got the argument that, oh, it was flares. Well, it certainly was not flares at 8:30.
No.
And, you know, in the first sighting. But just think about this. Think about the possibility that there really was no craft there at all, that what people saw was a very enhanced type of hologram. Now, the hologram could well have been from a craft that was actually sitting there, from a neutral air buoyancy craft shaped like a triangle with lights on it, but it could throw all kinds of images over a wide area. The argument is, and we encountered this at UFO Hunters, but the argument was, well, why would you do that? Why would you take a great secret weapon that we have and test it over a populated area? You know, I mean, duh, it's supposed to be secret. Well, what if the whole point is that if you've got the ability to instill panic in a population, you've got the ability to instill a whole bunch of things in a population, to manipulate a population through what you're projecting in the air,
mm-hmm.
of course you test it over a populated area.
Mm-hmm.
You test it in an area where you set up in advance the fact that you can have all these fake stories. You've got, let's say, people who have who are affluent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And you test it there specifically because you want people to see it, not because you're keeping it secret.
Well, here's something else to think about, and I wrote about this in my article that I have posted on my website at groundzeromedia.org, and it's because one of the most fascinating things about that time when the Phoenix Lights were seen in 1997, and happened on March 13th, I was investigated by the FBI because I had said something, because during the time there was a Hale-Bopp comet in the sky, and there was an eclipse happening around that time with the moon. And I said on the air, I said, tonight would be a great night for a cult to commit suicide, because it just seemed to me that with the reports of the lights over Phoenix, and there was also at the time an A-111 plane that was taken from out of formation. In fact, there was a guy that was a DJ at the radio station I was working for that was packing his things and decided to go to the mountains because he was afraid that we were being invaded. The Heaven's Gate cult committed suicide.
Exactly.
Just after the Arizona...
And there were a lot of strange things about that whole background of that cult and the suicide and the finances about that cult.
Oh, and who were they being financed by? But the Advanced Development Group. That's the ADG.
Mm-hmm.
They developed... Now, this is what ADG did, and the reason why I know this is because one of the guys in the group was named Lee Johnson, and he used to play in a rock group called Dharma Combat. And I interviewed his cohorts. I was on a TV show talking about this because they lived in Utah. He was from Vernal, Utah. And one of the things I knew about this group was because they worked for the Army and they worked for ADG, and that became Mantech Advanced Development. And these organizations were involved with, like, the 1st Earth Battalion and a group of other people. And what they did is they would actually create programs. The Heaven's Gate cult would create programs, which were programs dealing with simulated alien invasions. How's that for interesting? Simulated alien invasions. And the reason why I know this is because Lee Johnson had a rock group called Dharma Combat. He wrote a song called Meslim, and in the song he talked about how there would be a possible attempt by the U.S. government to stage an alien threat. And when the Heaven's Gate cult saw these lights, Applewhite went absolutely crazy and thought the companion that followed Hale Bopp would be where dough would be, or tea would be, whichever, I got confused. And so they opted to die and commit suicide and do that after they saw that huge UFO.
Well, and the thing is, if you're going to stage a demonstration of this technology, you're not going to stage a demonstration of this technology that you want people to see. You're not going to stage it when nobody's there. You're going to stage it at a time when everybody's going to be outside all prepared to see a comet, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it really is no coincidence that the whole Phoenix Lights took place on that particular night. Now, do I believe that it was a hologram? I don't know. I mean, the people that I've spoken to who said this thing was 100 feet above their head certainly didn't believe it's a hologram. They'll give you a phenomenal argument for it. And the Phoenix Lights weren't just a one night on March in 1997.
Right.
There were Phoenix Lights in 1995. There were Phoenix Lights in January of 97. There are Phoenix Lights now. I mean, people are still seeing these things. So, but as an example of what can be done, yes, we have that technology, is the short answer to your question. And the point where I was driving at before was that our intelligence agencies have penetrated, and they've not penetrated. You don't have people walking around carrying cards for an intelligence agency. They have penetrated through something called access journalism. I'll do you a favor. I will tip you off to certain kinds of stories. You'll have an exclusive. You'll get the inside scoop if you do what I say.
Exactly right. And you pitch for me, I pitch for you, that kind
right.
of thing. Yeah.
Doing what I say is be a listening post. If something happens, so you should realize that in the UFO groups, you've got these people who are literally working for these agencies as listening posts. And a lot of the debunkers and the skeptics that seem so implausible, it's incredible, they're staging things, like let's say the Jerusalem video, for example.
Right.
How that works is, this is what this person told me, literally, you know of certain people who have certain proclivities, who have certain attitudes
exactly.
vis-a-vis UFOs, right?
Right.
You're sitting in a bar with these people. It's not a CIA agent that's sitting in a bar, but it's somebody who's working on a contract basis and says to these guys, look, you know, you could really do us a favor. If you're that adamant about this, why don't you stage a hoax and watch how many of these useful idiots, how many of these morons
get
up and down and scream the aliens
are coming. We need to take a break, Bill. We'll be right back. Keep it here on Ground Zero. Bill Burns is my guest. We'll have more and some interesting information from Bill as well coming up on Ground Zero. Don't go away. There's more to come. 1-800-344-KUFO. We'll be back. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
Okay, guys, it's time to get to Walmart to get a great price on her Valentine's Day chocolates. Check it out. Russell Stover's 7-ounce assorted chocolate hearts. They're just $5. Or for $5, you can get her an 8.5-ounce bag of Lindt Lindor truffles and milk chocolate. Or a 7.7-ounce bag of Ghirardelli squares. And for $10, you can get her a 6.5-ounce box of Dove brand chocolate truffle hearts. And if you're nice to her, she might even let you have some candy, too. Valentine's Day at Walmart. One stop and you've made her happy. How sweet is that? Save money. Live better. Walmart.
Groceries. The
bad.
9/11.
9/11.
And the agony. Leave me alone!
Of being connected to everything in the universe. Ground Zero with Clive Lewis. When the Ground Zero closes.
There's a lot that is not being discussed here. As a powerful, influential member of the media, I know more than you do. Especially about this. I have seen a highly classified report that has not been released publicly, and it probably won't be unless you consider my talking about it here to be releasing it publicly. It's top secret. It was prepared by scientists from New Mexico. They analyzed the Mars data. And there are some findings in this report, and I can understand why they don't want to release this, but I want to, and I don't know at all, but I want to pass off what some of the report says. There was life on Mars. That's what NASA is not being upfront about. There was life. Everybody knows it. We can't be the only people occupying the universe. It's impossible. Who do we think we are? We're the only people God created? And sorry for those of you who don't believe in God. Only people who evolved from apes? So it's clear that there was life elsewhere. And now that, you know, NASA's kind of let the cat out of the bag, if there were habitable conditions up there, we know there was life there. In fact, they found some DNA evidence up there that compares favorably to members of the Skull and Bones Society here on Earth. These people were highly industrialized, the Martians. They were technologically superior, and they were very arrogant people. And they thought that the power and the force of their existence was all that was needed to sustain them. And they didn't care a whit about conservation. They didn't care a whit about preserving anything. They got rid of everything that was pristine. In fact, they used the internal combustion engine. They were globalists. They got rid of all the countries on that planet. And they had just one giant society. And the powerful, rich, just absorbed everything they needed from the best parts of the planet, used it for themselves, and everybody basically suffered until everybody died out. Because what happened was, there were no checks and balances. Probably, I don't know this, there probably wasn't any campaign finance reform to restrict the corruption in their elective circumstances there. And so special interest groups and multinationals escape taxes by, you know, forming offshore accounts. You know, there's no coincidence in the fact that they found water, lots of water, where the habitable conditions were, because it dovetails with what's in the report about some of these multinationals abandoning their own countries and locating offshore for all of the nefarious reasons. They had rainforests. You're not hearing about this. They had ancient rainforests. They had jungles. They had so much oil and gas. They had reserves out the wazoo. They, in fact, one of the things they found on Mars is that there are still, it's possible that there's still some there. Tiny little amounts. But it's clear, and you saw the pictures from Mars, I saw the skeletons, at least I saw the fossils of the skeletons, there were people there, there were beings there, but they looked like Pompeii, they looked like these people all died huddled together, and they were just swarmed in an instant, you know, they were one day there and then gone. So many people living close together, it has to have been the result of urban sprawl. Nobody had any space, nobody had any room, and you could tell it. I saw it from the pictures that they released. It's clear, ladies and gentlemen, Mars was once it was once the jewel of the solar system, and it was raped. Mars was raped. This is what NASA knows. This is what the Gore Report says. Mars was raped by robber barons. Capitalism, dependence on combustible engines led to global warming. The ecosystem that sustained everybody was destroyed. That's why the water they found is at the equator area. The ice caps melted. Exactly what's happening here, folks. Exactly what's happening here. These people were advanced. Not everybody on Mars died. This is what's fascinating about this report. Some were able to get off the planet. This is what they can't afford to release. UFOs, yeah. All these sightings, all of these blinking lights, all these unexplained things, they're real. Those are Martians escaping the destroyer. And it goes way back, I mean, before we were alive. At least the UFOs have been happening all over. It may well be that the bright star that guided the three wise men was a UFO. Tax cuts absolutely were a factor. That's what the offshore thing was all about. Of course, tax cuts were. But the elites got off. The elites were able to travel. It's basically the elite, and one very penny of them. But they were able to get off. They fled the planet in time. The stunning thing about the Mars report, the Gore report, is that they're here. These people that destroyed Mars are here. They are on Earth, folks. They are in America. They work at Halliburton. They worked at Enron. They worked at WorldCom. They're at Boeing. They came to America, my friends. The truth is out there. far, far out there.
Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. As we work on our way through the second hour of this program, getting a lot of emails from people tonight saying they're feeling chilled to the bone because of the subject matter tonight. They're feeling as though maybe they don't have control over their lives, that they think that perhaps they're being hoodwinked by their own government, especially when it comes to things like UFOs and things of that nature. I mean, we need to get down to the bottom of what's happening. We need to. We need to see what's going on. I mean, there's so much speculation and so much craziness going on that, yes, we need to look into these things. And we need to also take control again of the word UFO and say that it's an unidentified flying object and we're not necessarily believing in little green men or gray men piloting the thing. We need to understand that there are probes, there are drones, there are all kinds of things out there that we're looking at. I want to also, before we get into talking with my guest tonight, I want to tell people that Butcher Guitars is presenting Lynch Mob, George Lynch plus special guests along with Element 57 and Whipcord. It's happening Saturday, February 26th at 7 p.m. People are talking about the show. Doors are opening at 6. Tickets are $25 and available at www.ticketweb.com. Now, this is an all-age show. It's at the White Elephant. A lot of people, when I talk about this, they put it on my Facebook, so I'm going to tell you now, it's the White Elephant located at 16391 Northeast 182nd Avenue in Brush Prairie, Washington. Now, if you want more information, you can go to www.the-white-elephant.org or you can go to myspace.com/House of Whipcord. And there you can find out more about that show that's going on. Tonight, a very, very compelling program. A lot of people, of course, have been sending me emails, instant messaging me, telling me that they're feeling like there's something really bizarre. I mean, and they've been talking about UFOs that they've been seeing in the Northwest. We've had several people saying that UFOs have been seen. And I've been noticing an increase of these UFOs ever since the whole thing going down in Jerusalem. Now, you know, as we're tonight talking about all of this, you know, it's just overwhelming. Bill Burns is my guest tonight from the History Channel show UFO Hunters. And he was talking before we went into the break. We were forced to go to this break, and we were talking about the very possibility that there are these PSYOP groups, these organizations within the secret, whatever it is, and they are responsible for creating these so-called hoax videos, or these videos are so compelling that they do it. Are they doing it to gauge public reaction? We were talking about the Phoenix UFO case, Bill. We were talking about the Phoenix UFO case, and they did it at a time where everybody would be looking outside, and we were kind of talking again about the Jerusalem UFO. You think that maybe it was because of the fighting in Egypt that maybe they were wanting to create this idea of the Mahdi or the white horseman or the horse coming back and bringing back, you know, some entity or whatever?
Well, possibly. I mean, like, if you're going to stage something, again, you're not going to stage something when nobody's looking. You want to make sure that there are external events going on that make whatever you stage kind of the center of the universe. And so if you look at the, just for argument's sake, assuming that the Jerusalem UFO was a hoax, it comes at a time when everybody is really worried about, on the one hand, you've got these mobs in Egypt, people who really want an end to a 30-year rule of what turned out to be a dictatorship, right? A very
right.
repressive government by a military strongman supported by the military who was a very repressive regime. Open your mouth, you wind up in jail. You're tortured. A huge segment of the population lived in absolute poverty, and this guy Mubarak was a billionaire. So while these, and that was considered one of the most stable dictatorships in the Middle East. I mean, almost as stable as the Saudi the Saudi kingdom.
Right.
Well, at a time when everybody's thinking about what's going on in Egypt, suddenly this light appears over the Dome of the Rock and the Temple Mount. So, yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. You don't stage these things in an empty room. You stage these things when people are looking. And I don't think it's a coincidence that you've got the Hale-Bopp comet, you've got a massive display of lights successively all the way from Henderson, Nevada to the Mexican border, right through Utah, right through Arizona. And you've got Bill Clinton magically spraining his ankle or breaking his ankle and being sequestered because he's had an accident leaving the home of a golf pro. And you've got Heaven's Gate.
That's right. Heaven's Gate. And one of the things about Heaven's Gate, too, much like the Jerusalem situation, is that was suppressed, too, because, I mean, I remember watching the coverage of the Heaven's Gate cult suicides and reporters actually breaking that what they call the wall, if you will, by coming forward and saying what this cult did was anti-Christian and they deserved what they got. I mean, I was watching reporters saying stuff like that. They deserved what they got because it was an anti-Christian cult. And I'm just thinking to myself, wow. You know, what we're seeing is we're seeing a UFO over Arizona, and these are the time. And Fife Symington. Do you remember when Fife Symington, he was the governor, he brought in this alien.
His chief of staff.
Yeah.
His chief of staff dressed as an alien. And, you know, by the way, as a footnote to that, because I was friends with Francis Barwood, and where was Fife Symington? The question is, because we asked Francis Barwood, how do you explain what Fife Symington did? This was after Fife Symington then gave us an interview, and James Fox an interview, and Lynn Keitai an interview, in which he admitted to seeing the 830 lights.
Right.
And saying it was a craft.
Right.
Right? So the question is, why did he do what he did? And he said, I wanted to lighten the situation up.
Right.
Well, that makes no sense.
No.
What he said to us originally was that he actually, remember, he's the governor of a state, and he is the commander-in-chief of the National Guard and the Air National Guard.
Right.
Right? So theoretically, the Air National Guard bases around Phoenix are under his direct command as CNC.
Right.
So he said to us that immediately, first of all, he saw it. He saw it at 8:30, and he said he dismissed his state police, his bodyguard contingent, goes out into his backyard, and he sees this thing. And this is a guy who was retired Air Force. So he sees this thing, he says exactly, he knows it wasn't earthly. You know, and so he knows this. When he did that fake press conference, he legitimately did investigate it. And what Francis Barwood told us was that the day, remember, that was in the afternoon when he did that press conference.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
That day, he was in court, in judges' chambers, discussing the disposition of his case to avoid jail time.
Yes, that's right.
Right? He was in court, comes up with an agreement in court, walks out, and does the press conference. Waits, what, 7 years?
Yep.
And then comes forward and after his pardon, Bill Clinton pardoned him, and then walks out and says, oh, well, I'm sorry, I apologize, I really offended people, I really saw the object.
Yeah. I thought that was just...
Right?
Yep. You're right.
Okay.
Something's
wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Frances Barwood has never seen the object. She walks into a city council meeting and says, you know, reporters are hounding me about this. What's going on with this thing that people have seen? She meets a stone wall of silence, and from that moment forward, not only does she get cancer, by the way, but from that moment forward, she is shunned, ostracized, her nickname is Beam Me Up Barwood, and all she did was ask a question. And she's the vice mayor of Phoenix, so she's not somebody walking in off the street.
Well, do you know, what's really interesting, too, and you may want to make this link as well, when Fife Symington came forward and said what he said, I remember it was around the same time they were reinvestigating the Phoenix Lights, and I think, do you remember, and this is something else that people have forgotten, and it's gone into the memory hole, what was one of the chief questions they were asking candidates for the election that we just had when we elected Obama? When they were having these debates with the Democratic leaders, the question they were asking was about UFOs. They asked Kucinich because Kucinich had seen a UFO. They asked the candidate from New Mexico about Roswell. They asked Obama about his take on UFOs and aliens, and Hillary Clinton and all of them. They interrogated them all about aliens and UFOs.
Correct. That's what they did. It was Bill Richardson, and Bill Richardson was the governor of New Mexico.
Right.
And he was the energy secretary in the Clinton administration, and he was one of the people being considered for vice president. And he had said that there's really more to this Roswell business than meets the eye.
That's right, he did.
Say what it was.
He did. He said that. And the only person that I remember, because all the other ones addressed the UFO, Biden, of course, was kind of... You know,
exactly.
He was being a jerk about it. But all the other ones were very much concerned about that issue. And they were talking about that issue. They were talking about what if we were... In fact, I remember Giuliani was in a press conference. And a little boy... I could dig all this up. I have it buried somewhere in my stuff that I've collected over the years. A little boy asked Giuliani during a press conference. Let's say, for example, some monster is out there in space waiting to attack us. If you were president of the United States, how would you protect us from that monster that's out in space? And he had to answer that question. And so I was thinking that, you know, and a lot of other people have been thinking because of all of the, what we call the predictive programming of Hollywood, because we've had this surge of alien movies that have been dealing with a realistic invasion that we're seeing on the movie screens. But we have presidents being interrogated about UFOs during debates, children asking questions of politicians like Giuliani about UFOs and aliens, and now we're sitting here with the Catholic Church investigating the possibility that aliens exist with their big telescope called Lucifer, and it's just all of a sudden become this science fiction comic book world. Now, how would you explain that?
Well, the explanation basically is a matter of history, because all the way back in 1947 and 1948, after Roswell, one of the things that the CIA's history of UFOs made very clear is that they took the subject of UFOs very seriously, without admitting it, by the way, and went to the entertainment industry. And this is why you had these amazingly perceptive movies in the 1950s, not just War of the Worlds, But movies like This Island Earth, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Invaders from Mars, like Earth versus the Flying Saucers, I can go on and on.
Yes.
What you had was a very concerted effort by, in this case it was the CIA, because this was their history, to take what might have been something very real that they didn't understand, they had to get their brain around. But if you move it over to fiction and you fictionalize it, fictionalizing something makes it, on the one hand, not only easy to digest, but easy to marginalize, because it's now science fiction. It's not real, it's fiction. So you don't have to worry. It's a scary movie. Be afraid, be very afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. When you leave the theater, it's only fiction. Now, all this is happening, by the way, especially in the case of The Day the Earth Stood Still, while UFOs are over Washington, D.C., and if you read Edward Ruppelt's book, Edward Ruppelt was the head of Project Blue Book. If you read Edward Ruppelt's book, and there's this great movie back from the 70s called Unidentified Flying Objects about Ruppelt and Al Chop and what really happened in 1952.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at that and you realize that there are real events going on, I mean, every major newspaper was carrying stories of UFOs over Washington,
yep,
over the Capitol building, over the White House, over the National Monument, over the Washington Monument, okay? It was in the Washington Post, the New York Times. I remember going to the movies on Saturdays for the matinees, for the science fiction matinees, by the way, and seeing the movie tone newsreels about UFOs over the Capitol building.
Didn't Harryhausen mention something about that when he did Earth versus the Flying Saucers, that he felt like he was doing?
Yeah. Exactly. But at the same time this is happening, this spate of science fiction movies come out dealing with the same exact subject, right?
Mm-hmm.
Near the Earth Stood Still, UFO lands in Washington, but by fictionalizing it, it's easy. So on the one hand, you're saying to everybody, like General Sanford is saying, oh, these were temperature inversions, these malfunctioning equipment. I mean, imagine temperature inversions at every single radar installation from D.C. National Airport to Andrews Air Force Base to Dulles Airport to the various Air Force bases to the actual radar on board the Sabre jets and the Starfighters, the F-96s that were after this thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were all malfunctioning in the same way. And he got the pilots to say, oh, we really didn't see anything. So all the radio transmissions that we have records of right now, oh, that was all a mistake. So that happens while at the same time you've got all these science fiction movies.
Mm-hmm.
It was a concerted effort to fictionalize UFOs, to marginalize those people screaming about UFOs, to punish those people who were in the know from talking about what they really knew was true about UFOs. And this was a very concerted, well-executed effort, and it worked.
I just thought of something, Bill. You listening to you talk and hearing about this fictionalization of the UFOs in the 50s, when you saw the UFOs over Washington, you saw the UFOs hitting the Washington Monument and flying over the White House and the Capitol and Earth versus the Flying Saucers and Day the Earth is Still. When do you go from fictionalization to approximation? And the reason why I bring this up is, are you familiar with the movie Skyline?
Sure.
Okay. What happened in the movie Skyline in the beginning? There were white probes that came down from the sky and landed and hovered over major cities. Similar to what just happened, or allegedly, at the Dome of the Rock in Utah.
Well,
Same thing.
And so let's say that you get to a point in your technology where you can approximate these things. So you're moving from Independence Day the movie to Independence Day the hologram, let's say.
Well, always remember, Independence Day was shot by shot the attacks of 9/11.
Right.
That was something that was pointed out, and it's amazing. But if you watch Independence Day and you watch it, it was shot for shot what happened when New York was hit with the attacks on 9/11.
Precisely. So let's just say that, and this is where I want to get back to the point, just to mention it, that intelligence organizations have penetrated every single aspect of American society in a real tit-for-tat basis. We will help you out with stuff you keep your ear to the ground and you let us know what's happening. And we don't want you to do something without telling us that we think we should know. And just on that basis alone, we will give you money. We will open doors for you. We will make things happen for you that you would beat your head against the wall to make happen, right?
Right.
So, and this is an organization, ostensibly with the, you know, for the best of all possible purposes, right?
Right.
That from its very inception in the late 1940s began raising money on its own by, and we know this now from the records, raising money on its own by protecting drug lords in the Golden Triangle in Southeast Asia, hence the Vietnam War, but protecting drug lords, funneling the money through Mexico City and Mexican banks. Very important because it's in Mexico City at the Soviet embassy where the second Lee Harvey Oswald turns up, the one who's over 6 feet tall, who's the army general. He turns up. I mean, when you look at the extent to which these broad links reach, so the point that I'm trying to get to is that you raise money by doing something illicitly.
Mm-hmm.
You use that money for a lot of purposes other than establishing outposts in South Africa, supposedly. You use it by exerting your influence inside the United States, not outside the United States, and you develop a whole infrastructure of people who are going to report to you on kind of an as-come basis. Okay, that's what you do. And at the end of the day, 60-some-odd years later, where you end up is this top-down intelligence agency composed of cutouts, of hangers-on, of contract people who aren't necessarily the James Bonds of the world, but they're giving you information and they're listening posts. So by the time you institute something called Echelon and surveillance platforms and software that can scrub any kind of phone call or email, you've got human intelligence pointing you in the direction where you want your computers to scrub.
And you have no control over it because they are approximating you to that particular area. Am I right?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, on the one hand, partly what you want to say is, okay, look, sit back, you know, go to work, enjoy yourself. This is nothing you can do to control it. But what if, and here's the big what if, at least for my money, not to be too conspiratorial, what if that huge infrastructure unwittingly, because most people don't even know what the big picture is, unwittingly, years ago, got into a deal with these entities, with whoever was flying those craft over Washington in 1952. And what if part of the deal is, look, it's open skies. I remember the Eisenhower agreement with Khrushchev for open skies. Now, you surveil us, we'll surveil you. That way we know what you're up to. You know what we're up to. Nobody's going to sneak a nuke, you know, on Moscow because, see, you'll see what we're doing. It's the best way. You know, we're not going to bomb you. You're not going to bomb us. You're not going to wipe life out on planet Earth. But we'll skirmish in places like Vietnam. We'll skirmish in places like Europe. We'll push back and forth to get an edge. But nobody's going to drop the big one because you can see what we're doing. We see what you're doing. Well, that's a great idea. And Eisenhower, I think, was a great president who kept us out of a nuclear war. But what if that was the model for how we deal with extraterrestrials?
I'm beginning to see what you're saying because what we're doing now is, and speaking of predictive programming, you've got a movie coming out next month called Battle L.A., and this film is, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the previews to this, but this film is the mother film. It's a whopper.
It is, and in fact, if you go to some of the sites on Battle of L.A. on the Internet, I'm the person doing the publicity for that film.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to be in California the week after next at the press conferences for the film. So, yeah, I'm very familiar with the film. We've been working on the promotion for that film for 2 years.
Fantastic. We're going to talk more about that. We've got to take a break. We're going to talk more about that. And that special announcement you want to tell us about these listening posts and what we know that something is happening right now. They're gathering the chess pieces together. They're putting them in place in an area that we were talking about earlier. And it's really creepy that this is happening, especially around the time of this film coming up. 1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. We are going to take a few phone calls, too. It's really refreshing here to have Bill Barnes on the program tonight. Bill Burns on the program tonight from UFO Hunters. We got Vaughn on the line. We got Mason on the line. And your calls. 1-800-344-KUFO. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
Trojan Condoms presents Mumbler at the Pharmacy.
Next.
Hey, can I get some condoms?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Some condoms, please.
Just a guess, but did you say condoms?
No.
Yes. Okay, which kind?
Trojan Ecstasy.
So you're fine with saying Trojan Ecstasy?
Well, Trojan Ecstasy doesn't feel like condoms.
Trojan, America's trusted number one condom brand, brings you ecstasy. Unique fit plus his side, her side lubrication to feel like nothing's there. Trojan, you can't wait to get it on.
You can make this Valentine's Day one that you'll both never forget with this amazing offer from AdamandEve.com. Through Valentine's Day, you'll receive 50% off just about any item. Just go to AdamandEve.com and you'll find over 18,000 adult entertainment products, including toys, lingerie, and a seemingly endless selection of adult DVDs. And there's more. With every order, you'll receive our romance kit free. Our romance kit includes a toy for him, a special massager for her, and a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, a free adult DVD to put you in the mood. And that's not all. Oh, no. We'll also throw in free shipping on your entire order. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special Valentine's offer. Get 50% off one item, a free romance kit, and free shipping when you enter offer code SAVE20, SAVE20. That's SAVE20 at AdamandEve.com.
Gold Bond Ultimate talks to Heather, registered nurse.
Using hand sanitizer has never been more important, but the alcohol's so drying.
Gold Bond Hand Sanitizer Moisturizer kills 99% of germs, but without drying alcohol, then moisturizes like lotion.
Killing germs never felt so good.
And try new Sure Moisture with 7 weightless moisturizers and a fresh citrus scent. Gold Bond Ultimate Hand Sanitizer Moisturizer
kills germs, loves your hands.
In the lotion or sanitizer aisle, use as directed.
Get everything love right now at Walmart because they've got what you need for Valentine's Day at an amazing price. 2.4-ounce heart-shaped boxes of candy are just a dollar. For $5, you can get someone you love a heart-shaped picture frame or a cute plush toy in a Valentine's Day mug. Red cupcake and waffle makers, Valentine's bakeware and pillows and throw sets. They're all at incredible prices at Walmart. So stop in now and get the prices you love on everything love for Valentine's. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
AutoZone. Go too long between oil changes and your engine might not go too long. Protect it with help from AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Now at AutoZone, get a 5-plus quart oil change jug of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil and a Fram Extra Guard oil filter for just $17.99. Or upgrade to Castrol GTX high mileage motor oil and a Fram Tough Guard oil filter for just $2 more. See store for restrictions and details. Protect your engine. Get to AutoZone today. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
I drink Emergen-C to help me get through my busy day.
A busy day, huh? Why, I imagine with all those B and C vitamins, you bought groceries, mowed the lawn, organized a celebrity charity event, and discovered a natural alternative to synthetic rubber, making everything from tires to bouncy castles indestructible. Am I right?
Well, I cleaned the whole garage and pruned the hedges.
Incredible. Emergen-C, the fizzy, fruity drink mixed with 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C and energizing B vitamins to help you accomplish more. Get a free sample at myemergency.com. Emergen-C, feel the good.
101 the UFO, Fort Lewis Rock.
I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero tonight. A great show. In fact, a lot of people commenting on it. Bill Burns on the program tonight. It's a special tonight having him on the program with UFO Hunters. Also co-wrote The Day After Roswell with Colonel Philip Corso. Getting a lot of information, a lot to take in. 1-800-344-KUFO is the number to call. It's 1-800-344-KUFO. And a bombshell was dropped. You're promoting the Battle L.A. film.
Correct. The people who were in charge of film promotion, first of all, it's a studio feature. It's from Sony. And the folks who are promoting it, it's, the way studio features are promoted is that when they really want to make a big promotion, they'll go to outside to special companies to do that. And the company called me and said, look, one of the ideas that we have for promoting it is, since the Battle of L.A. is actually a true story, this is not, the Battle of L.A. is not fiction. It happened in 1942, right after Pearl Harbor. There was, over Santa Monica Bay in Redondo Beach, a craft, we don't know what it is, but a craft appeared in the sky, and we fired thousands upon thousands of rounds of artillery shells at it. It's in newspapers, there's video, there's movie footage of this thing. This is a real big event in Los Angeles, in southern L.A.
Right.
We thought the Japanese were invading at first, but eventually, we figured out that, you know, our best anti-aircraft batteries protecting the coast couldn't shoot this thing down. It disappeared, made headlines, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a real story. What was it? Well, the military then said, oh, it was a balloon. Well, after thousands of artillery shells firing at a balloon, you mean they couldn't bring down a balloon? What's with these guys?
Right.
A, B, if they hit it, they didn't even knock off a chunk of it?
Nope.
I mean, what was it? So that's the premise, right? Starting with that, that's the premise of the motion picture, and that's really what the publicity is about. And so when they came to me and said, could you help us come up with folks who would be on the panel to talk about the reality of UFOs and the reality of that particular event, A, and B, folks would be on the website and we could film you and stuff like that. And so, as I said, this was a couple of years ago. So I mentioned people that I thought would be interesting, like Dr. Bruce McAbee, actually Seagull from the CIA, but Dr. Bruce McAbee from the United States Navy.
Mm-hmm.
He writes for UFO Magazine. He was in UFO Hunters. Bob Salas, who wrote the book on the Maelstrom Air Force Base when some strange object shut down the missiles. Robert Wood from Magic 12, MJ-12. And so I mentioned some of Jan Harzan from Southern California MUFON. And they put together a series of videos. They filmed me in New York on two occasions. And then they wrapped those into a website about the film. And they started promoting this thing about a year ago. And now the promotion is kicking into high gear. The film comes out March 11th. And I'm going to be in California next week as part of a series of press conferences for 3 days promoting the film, talking about really the reality of UFOs. And I believe that there is a reality. I don't think it's really idle speculation. I just think that the evidence for their existence is overwhelming. There's not only very credible witness testimony, I mean solid witness testimony and events, but there's physical trace evidence that these things have left, both in human beings and on the ground and in soils and metals and things like that. And then there are government documents attesting. I mean, they're not out there to prove UFOs exist, but they're internal documents inside the government. Richard Dolan's book reprints a lot of these things, internal documents. And then, to me, one of the big things is the way the government, and we talked about this for most of the first hour, gets their skeptics and debunkers lined up to come up with ridiculous explanations for these. The explanations are more implausible than the fact that there are UFOs. And actually, they hoax events like the Jerusalem event to deflect attention from real sightings.
Like in Utah.
Right, like in Utah. And they create the false impression for disinformation purposes. Why would a government, ask yourself, why would a government go to that length to involve individuals in creating hoaxes? What are they diverting our attention from? And, you know, when you see that, you realize that's really my fourth prong of the extent the government does to cover up the truth.
Well, have you ever seen now, and I mentioned this in my article that I wrote, you know, it's really funny. I wish I could be Michael Shermer for one day, or I wish I could be Phil Plait or James Oberg or, oh gosh, I can name them. Oh, the Amazing Randy. These guys are professional debunkers. They're professional skeptics. I wish I could get paid to be a jerk. I wish I could get paid to be a persuasive moron who does nothing but whenever, you know, something happens, they are the first to tell you that it's a hoax, or they're the first to tell you that they have helped create a hoax, or have been so highly critical of people that they completely dismiss their arguments before. I mean, one of the things about the Jerusalem story that bothered me is the story didn't even have time to ferment, not once, and they jumped on it, and no one mentioned Utah. No one mentioned that there was a huge UFO seen over Kazakhstan. Nobody mentioned any of these things at all. They just went for that one, and then all of a sudden somebody says, oh, that may be a marketing gimmick, a viral marketing gimmick for Battle of L.A. I remember, and that's one of the reasons I had no idea that you were involved with that film, because a lot of the things I used in my montages tonight were from Battle of L.A. and some of my own stuff. So I thought it was kind of ironic, A, that you dropped this bombshell on me, but you also have another thing you want to tell my audience tonight about these listening posts you're talking about and satellites that are somewhere, that are positioned somewhere that we all know, correct?
Well, the first episode of UFO Hunters that was never aired, by the way, it was yanked, okay, was we were out in L.A. because in UFO Mag, it was a story really that I pushed, I mean, which was really funny because I really, one of the first things they would say, we really have to cover this story. It's fabulous. In UFO Magazine, all the way back in 2005, I think, we covered a story by this person called Colonel X, Ben Wood. Ben Wood was contacting everybody. He contacted Stephen Greer's groups. He said he contacted us about what he said was a reverse-engineered flying saucer hovering over a very secure spot in Nevada, over the National Forest and, you know, over Las Vegas. And he was really beating the drum. So he said, wow, got any photographs? So we sent photographs. Looks interesting. Great. It was one of the covers of UFO Magazine. Could this be it? And we were going to publish, and we're about to publish this. We get this nasty letter from the Stephen Greer group. How dare you step on our investigation?
Oh,
a magazine like yours, intruding yourself into our, you're ruining it for us. You're distracting. We said, you know, hey, you know what? We're a magazine. You're a group of investigators. You do what you do. We'll do what we do.
I agree.
I mean, have we come to the point in the world of UFOs where publications, legitimate publications, A, we're getting trashed by your idiot group, but we're legitimate publications who suddenly have to kowtow to quote-unquote real investigators? Well, as it turned out, we spoke to a loader, and then Raven Star was investigating this thing. That's all well and good. But when the time came for the first episode of UFO Hunters, I said, look, let's go to Las Vegas. Let's shoot this as a segment for the, you know, we did, right? So we go out there, and sure enough, my good friend and co-writer Jim Sanders from the downing of TWA Flight 800, he wrote that book and a few others about that, and that's a whole subject for another show. He said, look, you can see this thing from my driveway. Go to his driveway, there it is. Brighter than Venus, huge circle in the sky compared to the stars. And we go up to the National Forest, all the way up to the top of this mountain, so as not to get light pollution from the Las Vegas Strip. In Vegas, there's more light coming up into the heavens than coming down. So we go out to the National Forest, and sure enough, there it is. And we have a computer program that is basically a star map, and we've got this huge telescopic camera, huge. And we set that up. And we begin to film this thing, and sure enough, it is exactly what this guy says. It's a strange object, and it's hovering in the sky where no other object should be. It's not the space station. It's not a satellite, because you could see these things shooting back and forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is something else. So I go inside the little lodge, and I basically text my wife, who's the editor of UFO Magazine, and I say, we found it. We got it on camera. And as I hit the button to text her on my BlackBerry, literally, I hit the button, the text goes out. Before I even walk back out to look through the telescope again, the object winks out, and you could see it dropping below the horizon.
What is it?
Right. So we talked to our friend and consultant, and again, my co-writer for the book Space Wars and Counter Space, Bill Scott, the Rocky Mountain Bureau Chief of Aviation Week. And we tell him what happened, and he starts laughing. He says, boy, they really pinged you. I said, what do you mean? Oh, it stays down until we go back to Sanders' house. We leave Sanders' house, and he calls us as we're driving back to the hotel, and he says, guess what? The thing came back up again. So I tell the whole story to Bill Scott. Bill Scott says, don't you know what you guys did? You hit a surveillance platform. It's one of the surveillance platforms. It's over downtown Baghdad. The NSA has got these things all over the place. They, not only did they scrub your text message when you hit send, but they were able to pick out your license plates on your van so that as soon as you left Sanders' house, it came back up again because they knew you were no longer in the area. So when we presented that and said, look what we have. Oh, boy, this is great. We've got to say, it was never aired because it literally was a national security issue.
So there are surveillance platforms over the major cities, much like motherships parked over those cities.
Exactly. I mean, so you can call it a mothership if you want to, but it's our mothership.
That's amazing. And they're there to, what, they're monitoring computers? Is this like Echelon? Is this
it
like
is Echelon.
It's Echelon.
I mean, exactly what it is. I mean,
the fly on the wall, the big fly on the wall.
Well, I mean, the programming for Echelon, which is listening to this right now, the programming for Echelon is astounding. I mean, the computers that the NSA has, great story back from the 60s. NASA needed super powerful computers. So the most powerful computers were the ones operated by the NSA. So NASA goes to the NSA. This is, you know, like we're all on the same side here, right? NASA goes to the NSA and says, gee, could we use your computers for some of the space missions we have? And the NSA says, not on your life. You can't even get close to our computers.
Yeah.
That's how far advanced their computers were. I'm leaving. I'm at the 2004 MUFON conference. Somebody calls me. Just calling a hotel incessantly, like a squirrel going after food. I mean, it was phenomenal, calling and calling and calling. And the message was, he's being tracked by people from the future. And I said, come on. You know, I said to myself, this is, you know, another nut, right? So, and he's literally crying into these messages, sending me faxes to the hotel. Finally, I said, okay, great. Okay? I call him back. He tells me this incredible story of his brother, who was a CIA agent, who was involved in something black, something strange, and he disappeared. And suddenly people who said they were from the future were tracking him for information that he said he didn't have. And I said, boy, it sounds like, you know, you're doing a remake of Marathon Man. Come on, get off this. Don't bother me. He says, I'm telling you, I don't know what, I don't know why, all I know is this. And I'm being tracked by people from the future, and I can't escape because no matter what I do and where I go, since they're from the future, they know my moves. And I said, well, that's insane. And he says, listen, they claim to things they told me was this IBM quantum computer that can send messages back to the past. Well, I laughed. You know, such a thing doesn't exist. So the guy says he'll write a story for UFO Magazine. He never did. And I'm sitting at the airport with Jan Harzan from Orange County MUFON. Jan Harzan happens to be one of the major engineers at IBM. So I tell him the story about this guy. I said, what a crazy thing. I said, and he mentions, I forget the actual name of the computer. It had a code name. And he mentions this IBM quantum computer. Harzan turns around to me and says, how the hell do you know that? I said, what do you mean? He says, that's the most secret computer IBM is working on. How do you know that? And my jaw drops. And I said, well, this guy said that it could translate, send messages back to the past. And, you know, and this guy sitting in the airport on the other side, you know, how benches are back to back, turns around and says, hey, listen, I worked for the NSA when I was in graduate school. I needed the money. Let me tell you, their computers were so advanced that even personal computers now are nowhere near as advanced as the NSA computers are.
Wasn't it Philip K. Dick who said that he was being followed by some intelligence that was a surveillance intelligence computer?
That's right. It was in the story's Valis.
Valis.
by Philip K. Dick.
Yeah.
And, of course, yeah. And there was this whole thing where Philip K. Dick was, people said he was paranoid, but... You know, paranoia is a strange thing. Sometimes there is a truth to paranoia that years later turns out to be substantiated.
So
yes, he said that.
So before we go to calls, I want to ask one question because it's getting late and we're going to go a little bit over because we have people wanting to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
What is the purpose of all of these listening posts being placed over, well, you're saying in Las Vegas, so it was near. It's probably near the Nellis Air Force Base, correct?
Correct.
So we have all these listening posts over Nellis. This is the area where allegedly it's supposed to be protected because it's where we test back-engineered alien craft, right?
Well, that whole complex from S4 to Groom Lake to Papoose Lake, yeah, that whole area.
So why do you think they're blocking it?
Well, wouldn't it be a place where you'd want to really have incredible protection because? I mean, it's not just UFO hunters that are out in the Nevada desert. Wouldn't the Russians, wouldn't the Chinese, wouldn't the especially the Chinese, every power on Earth would really be putting its big eyeballs on that spot to see what we have.
Or what may be coming towards that place.
I'm sorry?
Or what might be coming towards that place, or what might arrive there.
Yes, and so we have platforms in place. On the one hand, you're testing them. Right, you're going to test them here before you put them over Baghdad or Tehran. But, I mean, if you don't think we can scrub every single phone call, I mean, the stories that I've heard about, for example, how we caught this Noriega, who, by the way, was caught not in Panama, but in Colombia, and then moved back to Panama to be picked up.
Well, you're bringing up all these stories I've been involved with. I created the audio assault, the aural assault tape that they played to get him out of that area.
Right.
With Panama, the song Panama. Yeah.
But he was, yeah, but yeah. He was actually caught in
right.
Colombia.
Right, then, he was at the Vatican.
Right. Then,
right.
The other thing was that when they caught Pablo Escobar and all these drug dealers, they did it because this idiot kid of the drug dealer, instead of throwing the cell phone away, it was a burner, instead of throwing the cell phone away, he makes another call on the cell phone, and immediately they pinged it. He gives the cell phone back to his father. They knew exactly where the father was because, by the way, your cell phone keeps emitting a signal even when you think it's off, so it can still be pinged. That's not major technology. That's pretty natural technology. So you really are a walking GPS object unless you take the battery out of the phone.
That's true.
Then
that's
they can't
true.
Ping it. So that's what happened with Escobar. So what I'm saying is that you've got the sophisticated surveillance system so phenomenal that literally there is not one cell phone call on the... That's why Osama bin Laden, by the way, uses couriers. There is not one cell phone on the planet that cannot be pinged. It's that simple.
It's amazing that all this is happening, and it's what's really funny is that I was thinking about the whole blue beam idea and the whole idea of hoaxing aliens or second comings or whatever, and I think it was Jean Baudrillard who said in his book Simulacrum something to the extent that mankind would try and fake a second coming, and wouldn't it be ironic if the second coming happened simultaneously? So the idea that if we could be faking some alien invasion or getting people worked up about the idea that maybe something's coming down the pike, whether it be meteors, comets, and something more, like I think Von Braun had said that was going to happen, that he told Carol Rosen, he said to her, you know, we'll prepare for the alien threat, but what we'll hear about is comets, asteroids, meteors, and the sun acting up before any of this happens, and people all fearful and seeing bright lights in the sky causing all kinds of havoc and creating all kinds of religious movements. It's just amazing to watch this. We're going to take some phone calls right now.
Sure.
Vaughn's been waiting patiently. Vaughn, hi, you're on Ground Zero with Bill Burns. Go ahead.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Bill. How's it going?
Hi. How are you?
Pretty good. Well, after listening to you guys for a long while now, you guys spoke about some things I've actually read about earlier today about the psyops and the holograms and all that with the UFO over Jerusalem. And I was led... After looking into this, I was led to this UFO researcher from the UK who claims that, have you guys heard of Solar Warden?
I have, but I'm not familiar with it.
It's rumored that there's a secret international space program called Solar Warden, and an alleged whistleblower described it that back in 05, there's 8 ships, an equivalent to an aircraft carrier, and 43 protectors, which are like space planes. And
they were picked up by SOHO, weren't they?
What's that?
Was that the story where they were picked up by SOHO, that they were waiting, that they're parked, and they're waiting to come, and they saw them sitting there, and they were large, huge ships?
Yeah, and that they're, like, apparently, we control them, or the government does. That's one of our space programs. But this researcher in UK, Mr. Darren Pertz, he's claimed to receive an email from the Department of Defense under the Freedom of Information Act that confirms that NASA had a solar warning program.
Well, I'd love to see the letter from the Department of Defense, because that would be the kind of thing. First of all, the Department of Defense, for the most part, UFO and space technology and things like that are contracted out. They're outsourced to aerospace companies. There is an office, a special access projects office inside the Pentagon run by one of the deputy defense secretaries. But the whole point is plausible deniability for people like Rumsfeld or Gates or people like that. Because they're responsive to freedom of information, the idea is that they don't want to lie before the American people, but on the other hand, they don't want to say, I can't talk about it or I can't confirm or deny it, because automatically that begins speculations. Oh, what are they trying to hide? So if they are kept out of the loop officially, then they don't have to lie to the American people. So that's one. So I would love to see a letter ostensibly from the DOD.
Wait a minute. Wait, okay. So you're talking about Solar Warden. Okay, I'm looking up Solar Warden right now. It talks about a space fleet that are anti-gravity machines that are hovering above the Earth right now. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember Gary McKinnon, Phil?
Yeah.
Remember what he said when he was doing the investigation? He opened up that and he hacked that site at NASA, and he said that he had a whole list of people who were stationed extraterrestrially, that they were stationed outside the Earth on ships.
And he saw pictures, too.
Yeah, and he found the pictures. Remember that story?
Yeah.
I wonder if that has something to do with the Solar Warden case.
Well, we do have space planes. I mean, that was a series of articles run by Aviation Week all the way back in the 90s. And they received such flack from the powers that be for daring to run those stories. They have the pictures. They exist. In fact, what we did in our book Space Wars is we fictionalized the space plane using the real technology that the space plane has. So it exists. We fictionalized it and used it in a battle scenario against the Iranians. But but there is a space plane. There are large neutral buoyancy craft. Again, this is not super great technology. Imagine that you need, this is where this all could come from. Imagine that you need to move a battalion within 24 hours or within 12 hours from a base in the middle of Kansas deep in the Middle East, right? You're not going to do it by sea lift. I mean, you're not going to have multiple planes. What you're going to have is, let's say that you have huge craft, football field size craft that are neutral buoyant, that are suborbital, where they go right to the top of the atmosphere, that can camouflage themselves with cloaking devices, that can camouflage themselves by throwing holograms to, and that are stealthy, obviously, so radar can't pick them up, and that can make people believe they're flying away at hypersonic speeds when they're really stationary and invisible.
And then they write them off as UFOs, little gray man, little green man,
course,
and immediately it's destroyed.
And you have that with a fleet of space planes. Well, that's true. We do have those.
Wow. Vaughn, thank you for that. I'll have to look into Solar Warden and maybe do a show on it, okay?
Yeah, and if you need the information of where I got the, from Mr. Darren Perks, I could give that to you.
Yeah, groundzeropdx@yahoo.com or just Facebook me, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye. Let's go to Mason, quickly. Hi, Mason. You're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
Hey, Clyde. Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Doing great. Turn down your radio, okay, Mason?
All right.
What you got for me tonight? What's your question?
Well, I want to ask, all the UFO sightings in the Northeast. Do you think that they are probing, you know, checking things out for the rest of them?
You mean doing scout ships out there looking around or something like that?
To see the level of danger, you know?
Level of danger before they ascend or descend, rather? What do you think about that? Maybe search probes or search, you know, dropping things down to take a look. I mean, the whole thing could have been, what, those drones that they're talking about? And I've also heard tell of maybe blimps that they're going to be using in Utah as well. Bill, are you there? Is Bill with us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know. Bill, are you there? Did we lose you, Bill? We may... He's gone. We got to get Bill back on the phone. Please do. I don't know. You know, that's the thing. We need to take a look at, you know, what that might be. We don't know if that could be, you know, maybe scout ships coming down and take a look. It all adds up to this. Something's going on in space. Something's going on with the magnetics of this planet. Something's going on with the sun. We're having, you know, craft that are above us that our military is not talking to us about. We have craft that has been back engineered clear back to the 1940s. You hear Bill talk about the 1940s and that connection with his book, The Day After Roswell, with Philip Corso at Roswell. We do know that there was technology such as this that the Nazis were using back in the 1940s as well. The Nazis then were brought over here. People like Wernher von Braun, who said that he believed that this stuff was going to happen. I mean, we've got all this going on, and, you know, we don't have any answers until these things show up, as we had said, on the White House lawn, because that's the way the Disclosure Project operates. They want to see the government say, hey, these are all real, and quite frankly, I don't need a government to tell me what I already know.
Mm.
Okay, Mason?
Yeah.
All right, I appreciate the call.
All right.
It's true. I mean, it's like, you know, they're talking about disclosure, and I say to myself, here we have a group of people who are demanding that the government come clean on UFOs, but remember, it's all going to be permitted. This is all going to be permitted that when the government says, okay, you know, people like the Stephen Greers of the world and all these other people that, of course, you know, have given hassle to people like Bill and others, you know, what? When the government comes clean on UFOs, it's not going to be, you know, it's going to be, if it's the template that Steven Spielberg has given us or anybody else, I would be very suspicious. And not only that, but it's the government telling you this. And they've been covering it up for 60 years or so. So, you know, I don't need the government to tell me what I already know. Let's go to Betsy now. Betsy on line 3. Betsy's not there. She's left. Okay, well, Betsy's not there. Well, okay then. Then I guess, Bill, we ran overtime tonight because a lot of people were out there, and we're going to let you go too. But we really appreciate you being on Ground Zero tonight and giving us this information.
Well, thanks. It was my pleasure. there's a book coming out by John Alexander, and one of the premises that he has in his book, and it's something that I've been saying too and other people have been saying, is that you don't need the government for disclosure. Disclosure happened. The first disclosure of UFOs was in 1947 at Roswell. It was a real press release.
Mm-hmm.
And disclosure happened in 1952. It happened with Donald Kehoe, happened with Edward Ruppelt in his book about UFOs, happened with Al Chopp and his interviews from the Pentagon about UFOs. It's happened and happened and happened. What people want is not disclosure, because that has happened. What people want is confirmation of disclosure. Like the government, it's okay, we'll make it right by telling you that UFOs are real. And that's not going to happen.
No.
They're never going to do that. Disclosure is going to happen. It's already happened, but that confirmation is going to happen when it's going to be a grassroots confirmation.
It has
Something
to be.
Will happen that is absolutely unmistakable. It's not going to be a little green man walking on the White House lawn, but it'll be something, maybe something innocuous. But they've been showing themselves ever since 1947, often by accident, sometimes real.
Bill, thank you for being on the show tonight. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
It was a great show tonight, and I would love to have you on again if you're up to it sometime soon.
I would love it. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Burns with us here tonight on Ground Zero. Very glad to have him on board with us. Talking with us about, gosh, we covered the whole thing. I think we've given the whole objective viewpoint as to what's been happening with these UFOs. Military, alien, hoax or not, it doesn't matter, because you need to understand one thing about this whole situation is that the paranormal, if you will, like beauty, is in the eyes of the beholder. Good night from Ground Zero. Thank you. Take care.
You can make this Valentine's Day one that you'll both never forget with this amazing offer from AdamandEve.com. Through Valentine's Day, you'll receive 50% off just about any item. Just go to AdamandEve.com and you'll find over 18,000 adult entertainment products, including toys, lingerie, and a seemingly endless selection of adult DVDs. And there's more. With every order, you'll receive our romance kit free. Our romance kit includes a toy for him, a special massager for her, and a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, a free adult DVD to put you in the mood. And that's not all. Oh, no. We'll also throw in free shipping on your entire order. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special Valentine's offer. Get 50% off one item, a free romance kit, and free shipping when you enter offer code SAVE20, SAVE20. That's SAVE20 at AdamandEve.com.
The Monster Energy Stage at the Bing Lounge gives you exclusive access to the world of rock you hear on KUFO. See and hear what it's all about. Click on Bing Lounge at KUFO.com. Audiovisual provided by Encore Audiovisual.
Right now, every time you buy something, anything with Discover, you automatically have a chance to win up to $1 million.
So if I buy these jeans, I could win $1 million?
Yep.
This stainless steel dishwasher?
Uh-huh.
This chocolate bar?
You bet.
This chocolate bar?
Didn't you just buy that?
It's my emergency chocolate.
Oh, gotcha. So remember, the next time you buy something, use Discover, because it could make you a millionaire. Limitations apply. No purchase or card application necessary. Visit discovergiveaway.com for official rules.
Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. Jack knocked over a candlestick onto the shag carpeting, and his pants ignited into flames, causing him to stop, drop, and roll. Luckily, Jack recently had Geico help him with renter's insurance, because all his belongings went up in flames. Jack got full replacement and now has new pants he ordered from Banana Republic. Visit Geico.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Your glasses and contacts today with laser vision correction from Will Vision and Laser Centers. Imagine all the things you'd enjoy more if you weren't always looking for your glasses or losing a contact at that crucial moment. Experience what laser vision correction can do for you by scheduling a free screening at their offices in Vancouver or Salem. Call Will Vision and Laser Centers today.
KUFO. We care a lot.
Portland dispatchers handle over 1 million calls a year, and Portland Fire and Rescue has tips for when you call. Dial 911 to report a crime, stop a fire, or save a life. Never hang up if you call 911. Remain calm, know your location, and trust your 911 dispatcher, because help can get started while you are on the line. For more information, visit portlandonline.com/fire.
101 KUFO.
You're in the middle of 10 rockers.
And rockers.
101 KUFO.
Portland's rock.
We'll be right back.
bag. I'm all fried, Jack. Keep your hands off of my sack. My man is a hit. Don't get me back to good, good bullshit. I'm in the
Rock. Portland's Rock.